following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Mothers and daughters have one of life's most special bonds. Along with the trying times, can be some of the most wonderful times. Welcome to Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship. Your hosts are Elizabeth Lutz, Danielle Schoniker, and Melissa Schoniker. In the next hour, we will share some great tools with our listeners designed to help mothers and daughters grow into the honesty and openness of whom you truly are. Now, here's Elizabeth, Melissa, and Danielle.
Good evening, and welcome to Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship. I'm your host, Elizabeth Lutz, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, who also happen to be my daughters, Danielle and Melissa.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
And we'd like to thank you, first of all, for joining us for this very exciting show.
And it's going to be even more exciting than our first show, if that's possible. And we also want to thank you for joining us for our first show. It was a great time. I had a great time. And I want you all to know, too, I've been working on my analogies, so I'm hoping to bring, you know, a little bit better ones to the table today. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no more trash talk.
And if you'd like to listen to the first show, you're welcome to. And we introduce ourselves and talk more about what it is we're going to be doing in the future. So, but for this show, we put our heads together and the three of us have compiled our top 10 favorite and simple ways to create like a more positive relationship, a positive shift in our relationship. And with each one of these items, you can start using them right away, today, if you'd like, or after the show. So let's get started. And I want you to know, first of all, that the items are in the list are on no particular order. Each item on its own has its own strength. So when we compiled the list, each of us had kind of a slightly different take on what the topic was and what it was about. And so as we started to do the list, we thought, what we'll do is we'll just tell you like what our top 10 is, one at a time, and like each one of us will tell you what our thoughts were about that topic and our little nuances or takes on what it is that we wanted to discuss. So, and we're going to do it kind of in a fun way. We're going to start with number 10 and do like a David Letterman.
Work backwards.
Yeah. So
even though there's no order.
Yeah, really.
I don't know how we do that.
Well, it's just for fun. So communicating from the heart is number 10 on our list. And
isn't that the title of our show?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's so there's no order, but we're starting with that one.
Well, I think it goes through all of them. You can use it for all of them. How's that?
I like it.
What do you think? All right.
I like how you put it as number 10, but it's also number one.
Yeah.
So communicating from the heart. This is, I think, just the core of everything. And the first thing that comes forward to me when I think communicating from the heart is just being honest. Just being honest with yourself and expressing what you want to say. Because if you're not 100% being honest with what you're saying, then the communication is a bust from the start. You're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to, what you want to have accomplished with that conversation is not going to happen. Just honesty is the biggest thing. And again, I say not even for the other person, but also yourself. Really be honest in knowing what you desire to get out of the conversation.
I feel like you were looking at my sheet of paper because that's what I had. But yes, I totally agree. I think that's the most important thing. And I think it's one of the most difficult things, too, is to really come from a place where you're honest with yourself, because sometimes I'm not really always clear on what I want. So it might take me a little while to really go inside and see what it is and where it is that I am really coming from.
And to be honest, I did cheat. But I didn't.
Well, it's good that you're being honest, though, because that's communicating from the heart, right?
That's true.
Being
honest. I copied Showing your answer from my heart. Mom, what about you?
Well, I agree with what you're saying about communicating from the heart and being authentic with yourself. And one thing that I would like to add to this, it's kind of a little bit more or a different take on it, is sometimes when you're in close communications, like with a mother-daughter relationship or siblings or something like that, you tend to be so close to the other person that you think you know what they're going to say. And so if you do something like that, if you're like, okay, I know what Melissa's going to say, so I'm not even going to communicate, I think it just happens naturally. You just get to know the person so well that somehow you think you know what they're going to say. And I would like to caution people on that, because sometimes that could create like a barrier in the communication. And I have like a brief example of that, because I remember when Melissa was living with me for a short time when she came out to California.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was a long, long time ago. Last week.
Yeah, she's moving out tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. So, but I do remember one time at breakfast, we were talking and the night before, my husband had to work late, and I was saying to Melissa at breakfast, I'm like, I really wish we would have talked last night. And Melissa said, I really wish we would have talked too. And what we came to realize was that I was upstairs, and I was worried about giving her her own space, and I thought, oh, she wouldn't want to talk to me, you know. And when I asked her about it, she was like, I was downstairs, and I was thinking, you know, I don't want to invade Mom's space, because I know she kind of likes to be alone sometimes, you know, when she doesn't get the house alone. So it was like one of those situations that we both had wanted to talk to each other, but we were like, we thought we knew what the other person was thinking, so it kind of put a kibosh on the communication. So,
well, absolutely. I think that ties in with the first one, because if you're expecting a certain answer, then you're actually going to tailor the question to that answer. So you're not actually being honest if you're already assuming that you're going to get a certain kind of answer, or trying to manipulate actually what you're saying in order to get the right answer. That's not necessarily honest or fair to yourself or the other person.
Yes, and sometimes that happens, I think, subconsciously.
Definitely. That's why I feel like it's so important to be honest with yourself first, because if you really do give yourself that time to like check in and really bring forward like where it is that you want to come from and be clear in your heart what you want to bring to the conversation, then it can just open up a world for lots of possibilities without expectations of what the answer would be.
Yeah, I think I struggled with this myself, because many times I would try and tailor what I would say in order to make the person that I'm talking to have them receive it really well and feel happy, and it wasn't always honest to myself. So I definitely learned a lot about that. And it's like, you know, if someone asked me to do something for them and maybe I was too busy, maybe I just didn't want to, oftentimes I would just agree to it because I wanted them to be happy. And that's not being honest with myself. And that's taking communication even further. That's not just communication itself, but I'm actually building the relationship in that way. You know, instead of being honest, it's at that point, I'm not being honest in the relationship. You know, like, you know, that sounds like so much fun to go to a movie with you, Mom, but I just really want to stay home tonight and watch Scandal. Which is, by the way, one of the awesomest shows ever. But I promise we're not getting paid to promo that. So, but yeah, it's just one of those things. It really does all boil down to honesty.
And I think also my other point on this was, I feel like it's really important to keep communicating to the heart. For me, is really keeping the big picture that this is a person, especially since we're talking about mothers and daughters, that this is a person that I love. Because
95% of the time.
The bottom line is, you know, do I want to come at this with all of my energy? And this person isn't my energy, my enemy. This person isn't my enemy. They're somebody that I love.
Again, 95% of the time.
All right, let's work on that other 5%, Danielle.
That's why I'm listening while hosting. Maybe I missed something.
Which brings me to my point, which is sarcasm. Perfect segue. That's one of the things.
Sarcasm is totally communicating from the heart. I don't know what you're talking about.
For me, anyways, sarcasm oftentimes can break down a communication as well, because it's usually a sign of like a little bit of passive aggressiveness. And so I would caution against that, you know, as siblings and things like that. Sometimes it's a natural way to, you know, people start to communicate that way. And so it's just something I would take a look at. If you start finding yourself being sarcastic with your daughter, with your spouse, with your sibling, you know, and look inside and see what really is going on, because the sarcasm isn't going to help with the communication. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I do want to say I am not at all sarcastic ever, but I think there's a way of being sarcastic. You know, there's a way of bringing things forward, and I mean, and you get to know how people communicate, but there's definitely the sarcasm that has the energy, the negative undertone, the upsetness behind it, and there's a sarcasm like, hey, I'm really just saying this to get a joke, you know, and usually the person who's receiving the sarcasm will say, receiving the sarcasm.
I love receiving the sarcasm.
Usually, they can tell which kind of sarcasm they're getting.
So is it helpful then to preface it? Like, I'm going to be showing you some sarcasm in the future.
This is a happy sarcasm. Great. So our number 9, yeah, after number 10, again, no particular order except for we had to put them in an order. And that is no expectations. Melissa, what do you think about that one?
I think, Mom, you touched upon it earlier, is not coming to a conversation expecting to know what the other person is going to say. And I know we talked about this briefly in the first show, too, but I think it's so important to just be open to surprises, to be open to any answer being given, because the truth is you don't know what somebody's going to say until they say it. And sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say until I say it. Well, a lot of times, like just now.
I was thinking the same thing. I stole your answer again. I don't know what I'm going to say until I'm saying it just now. I also say that it's kind of, you know, and I touched on it before, but let go of what you think should be said. You know, it's having that expectation of what you think someone should say. If I ask, you know, Melissa to go to the movie. For some reason, I really want to go to the movies. But if I ask Melissa to go to the movies and she says no, am I going to be upset? I could be, but what's the point? It's really having no expectations. Like, hey, if she wants to go with me, great. If not, I'll go by myself or ask somebody else.
Yeah. Right. Or having expectations on what that answer means. Like, I might say no, but you might hear, no, I don't like you.
Why don't
you take a
shower?
No, you never take out the trash.
That's exactly what you mean.
And oftentimes we have unrealistic expectations of what, like, a mother or daughter relationship should be. So I'd like to, I know we have to go on break here, but I'd like to touch base on that a little bit when we get back.
Yep, great. We're going to go to break really quick. And when we come back, we'll continue with our top 10 list on number 9, no expectations.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
At Heart-Centered Listening, we are committed to providing high-quality coaching, empowering you to reach a healthier and more fulfilling mother-daughter relationship. We have a consistent flow of coaching clients who sincerely want to heal and move toward a healthy, loving, and fulfilling mother and daughter relationship. We welcome you to share in the joys, sorrows, and experiences of one family's growth and learning. We support others in growing into love and support of oneself, so that you can show up in the loving way that you would like in your relationships with others. Get answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. We promise to show up each day in our authenticity and always be honest in our responses. You can call Heart-Centered Listening at 310-301-1850 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Time, or visit our website at heartcenteredlistening.com. Mother-Daughter Relationship Coaching with Elizabeth Lutz. Isn't it time to open the door to your new relationship? HeartCenteredListening.com. Support. Healing. Transformation.
It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Listening to Communicating from the Heart. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you might have. Please send us an email to info@heartcenteredlistening.com. That's info@heartcenteredlistening.com. Now back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship.
Welcome back to Communicating from the Heart. I'm your host, Elizabeth, along with Danielle and Melissa.
Hello again.
Hi. And before the break, we were discussing our top 10 favorite and simple ways to create a positive shift in your relationship. And one of the, number 10 was communicating from the heart, and number 9 was no expectations. And we were following up, I'd like to follow up on the no expectations. And what I had suggested was oftentimes we as mothers have unrealistic expectations of, you know, how the relationship with your mother or your daughter should be or what it would look like or how it looks to the rest of the world. And so I have a little story about that one, too, that I'd like to share. My daughter Danielle was on the varsity soccer team one time, for a couple
well,
years.
One time. I made the team but, more than once.
Yeah, but I meant one time they had this honoring the parents night. And I remember going there with her, and I was so excited about it because, you know, I had gone to her games and supported her through all of the soccer games. And her dad showed up there, too, and which is unusual. He usually didn't come to a lot of the things. And I remember going out to the middle of the field when they called Danielle's name and the parents came out. And Danielle turned her back on me and talked with her dad the whole time. And I was, like, standing there feeling very foolish and like ashamed. And so I had these expectations of how the evening was supposed to go. And, you know, later on when I talked to Danielle about it, she was just so excited because her dad showed up that she was communicating with him out of excitement, but not, it didn't really have anything to do with me. And so that leads me a little bit to my second thing, not to take things personally, to just, you know, experience them. And I, you know, I'm okay with myself that I had those feelings and I was able to talk and communicate with my daughter about them because I did have expectations. But then afterwards, I was able to realize that I didn't need to take it personally. It had nothing to do with me, that it was just you were excited to see your dad.
Yeah. And I remember that day, too, because I remember just hearing the sorrow in your voice, just the disappointment. And it really opened my eyes because I was just coming from a place of like, not that wasn't my intention, but it happened. And so I really, first of all, just want to acknowledge you tying back in communicating from the heart because you told me. You know, that's the biggest thing is we wouldn't have had this lesson. You wouldn't have, you came to me, you told me this hurt my feelings. And I was able to understand that and take it in and really realize that even though that wasn't my intention, that's what happened so that I could be aware of it the next year when it happened because I made varsity more than one time. But it is, it really is. You did communicate with me and I so hear you. And the funny thing now is, I have a son, he's 1 year old, and I totally hear that. I can't imagine what you were also thinking of expectations of people out there. You know, what did other people think by having my daughter have her back to me? You know, do they think that I'm not a good mom? Do they think that my daughter doesn't love me? Do they think that my, and I don't want to put any of these into your brain because none of them are accurate. But I'm just so aware that, you know, motherhood is, for me, the biggest role where I have felt as if I have to play to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, people are constantly, I remember standing in line at Starbucks with you, Mom, and a lady came up to me and said, "Are you going to have a coffee?" And I was like, "Yes." And she's like, "Are you breastfeeding your son?" And I just remember thinking, "That is none of your business." And she's like, "Because that goes right to him." And I kept it in and I held it in and I, you know, number 8 is take a break. And I took a break before I responded. But it really is that kind of everyone has an opinion about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is that kind of, you know, what's coming forward right now is also that there's, I think, almost even stronger expectations, though, when you're in that close relationship, because you actually hold people to a higher standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that going back to kind of what we said about being honest with yourself when you first come forward into a conversation, for example, with somebody, I think not having an expectation, it's like if I'm expecting you to answer in a certain way, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Tailor the question?
I might tailor the question to you and expect you to say something that I want, and if you don't, then I might get upset, but I might not even realize that I was going to be upset until you answered. I might not even realize that I had an expectation until you didn't reply the way that I wanted you to reply. So I feel like it's important to, in the beginning, be clear that you're open to however the person might reply.
And that's a great awareness. And what I'd like to add to that is a way that you can do that is by staying in the present, in the now. Because oftentimes we think because they reacted this way in the past, they're going to do it in the future. So we're either thinking about the past, about how they handled the situation or what their expectations were, or in the future about, you know, because, you know, it's like we're creating our future by looking at our expectations in the past. So if we learn to, you know, go into the conversation with an open-mindedness, with a newness, no expectations, I think that really helps.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. And it's no expectations, speaking and receiving. You know, giving the information and receiving the information, both ways. I think it's equally important.
I agree with both of you on that one. Do you feel ready to move on to number 8?
Yeah. I think Danielle already mentioned it a little bit, but go ahead.
I have no expectations.
Oh, she did mention it a little bit.
Yeah.
She said number 8 is take a break. So my thought about this, too, is I was like the queen of taking a break. Whenever I got upset, it really worked well for me to just take a step back and to gather my thoughts and just really, I guess, assess my feelings about what came forward for me in the circumstance or whatever it was that upset me. And it's so easy to want to react immediately in the moment. And a lot of times that wasn't my authenticity. So it was a lot easier for me to just go and be in my room alone.
For a week.
You know how I honored myself however long it took. If it took a day, then it took a day. If it took a week, then it took a week.
Yeah. You don't have to take that long.
Yeah, but you can take as long as you want.
Yes. And with Melissa, I have to explain that it wasn't like the silent treatment. It wasn't like she just would let me know that I'm not ready to talk yet. I really need to sort this out. So I think there's really a difference between using something like take a break as a weapon versus take a break as I really don't know what I'm thinking yet. I really don't understand my own thoughts and you know, and my feelings, and I want to come back into balance before I talk to you.
And sometimes it's like if it happens in the moment it feels like it's a big deal. But if you allow yourself to take a little bit break and get some distance from it, you might even realize that it's not a big deal at all. And there's actually, it's just easier to let it go if you take a break in it and you just realize that it's not as important as I thought it was.
That's true. And in the moment, oftentimes, at least for myself, it seems like there's such an urgency to solve the problem, to solve or the issue or whatever it may be, to get an answer. Even if it is, will you go to the movie with me?
What's it?
I don't know. I'm just going to stick with it. It's better than Melissa's trash comment from last week. But, you know, it's one of those things where it doesn't really need to be solved right here in this moment. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, if you really need a break to sort out your feelings and sort out everything, then you really can come back and be honest about the answer. You know, then you're not saying something out of just trying to come up with something in the moment and maybe having someone will have new expectations or whatever. You can just really make sure that you're being authentic and honest.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And one thing that can help you be authentic and honest is to take the time when you take the break to forgive yourself. Because oftentimes, like Danielle was mentioning, you know, when you're a mother, and I, you guys can speak to it from a daughter's perspective, but when you're a mother, there's a lot of times things happen and you may move into judgment about yourself. Like, I'm a bad mother. This wouldn't be happening if I was a good mother. And it's this bad and good stuff. And so I would recommend that you take some time and just forgive yourself for having any of those thoughts about good or bad. I mean, what you're doing the best you can, and really thinking good or bad in that moment doesn't help the situation, because the situation is what it is, and you just move into this space of, you know, I forgive myself for feeling like I'm a bad mother. I'm just going to take some time to be with myself, and I'm going to go back and communicate with my daughter.
Absolutely. I noticed myself oftentimes when I needed to take a break but felt that I had to answer, because I was had that judgment of good, bad, right or wrong on myself, I often in the past would respond from a defensive place. And that actually had more of a negative effect on the conversation. Because when I come at it with that defensive energy, oftentimes people can perceive that as offensive. Like, I'm trying to attack them. So I noticed in myself that oftentimes, because I was feeling insecure, that energy would go onto the conversation and really affected it in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. Not in the way that you intended.
Absolutely not.
Mom, I like what you said, too, about... My point was that we can't really control the thoughts that come into our head either. You know, sometimes a thought comes in and it's like, where did that come from? That's not actually how I feel. That's not actually, I don't actually agree with that, but that just came into my head. So I feel like a lot of times if you're in a moment and you are feeling really angry or in a certain way, and you just say what pops in your head, like, wow, you're really a jerk. And it's like, you might not actually feel that way, but because you didn't allow yourself the time to sit with it or to give yourself a break to where you could get a clearer picture of what it is you really wanted to share, it's easier for those things to just pop out. And once they're said and once they're out there, they're out there. It's like you can't control if they come into your head, but you control if they go out your mouth. You can control if they go out your mouth.
That's a good point. And along that same line of thinking, many psychologists and philosophers say that underneath the anger, like that, you know, you're a jerk, is because you're hurt, you know. And usually, you know, underneath that hurt is that loving, because you really love this person. And somehow that's how come oftentimes in real close, intimate relationships, it's like you might perceive the pain as being more than in non-close relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I just really want to speak to that, as we're coming up with all these good ideas and, you know, taking a break, no expectations, communicating from the heart. And I just really want to say, remember to be gentle with yourself, because a lot of these things are very new. You might not have experience with them. You might have limited experience. It might be a challenging relationship that you're trying to implement them with. So it might not work right away. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's really, you can work on your part of the conversation and trying to implement these and see if it works for you. But definitely, you know, it's not always going to be hey, I'm going to do number 8, take a break, and my relationship has changed. It definitely takes work.
Yes, yes. And with that, our number 7 is agree to disagree.
Do you disagree that it takes time?
No. I'm agreeing. Sorry, I guess that's a bad example.
I was going to say, I don't agree that that's number 7.
All right, well, we can decide whether it's number 7 or number 6 when we come back. We'll be right back after this short break.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
How do you achieve balance in your life? Is it when everything runs in perfect alignment with each other? Time, money, and life? You can keep everything in nearly perfect balance. Listen for Be Mighty, with K.D. Marley, which is made up of two people, K. Marr and D. Lee. The hosts have worked with small business owners to find the best and most systematic way of tracking both time and money in order to achieve work-life balance to their advantage. The show can help you, too. Listen Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
At Heart-Centered Listening, we are committed to providing high-quality coaching, empowering you to reach a healthier and more fulfilling mother-daughter relationship. We have a consistent flow of coaching clients who sincerely want to heal and move toward a healthy, loving, and fulfilling mother and daughter relationship. We welcome you to share in the joys, sorrows, and experiences of one family's growth and learning. We support others in growing into love and support of oneself so that you can show up in the loving way that you would like in your relationships with others. Get answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. We promise to show up each day in our authenticity and always be honest in our responses. You can call Heart-Centered Listening at 310-301-1850 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Time or visit our website at heartcenteredlistening.com. Mother-daughter relationship coaching with Elizabeth Lutz. Isn't it time to open the door to your new relationship? Heartcenteredlistening.com. Support. Healing. Transformation.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Communicating from the Heart. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you might have. Please send us an email to info@heartcenteredlistening.com. That's info@heartcenteredlistening.com. Now back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship.
Welcome back to Communicating from the Heart. I'm your host, Elizabeth, along with Danielle and Melissa. And before the break, we were discussing our top 10 favorite and simple ways to create a positive shift in your relationship. And I think we were disagreeing about which number we were. No, I'm just kidding. The number we're on is number 7, and it's agreed to disagree. So, Melissa, do you want to?
Yeah, I have a prime example of this. I actually wanted to title this No One to Hold Them, No One to Fold Them. And I was not met with the same enthusiasm as I had for that. But, I mean, I guess I would say I love poker, but I know that you guys also play poker. But, you know, I'm also a big Kenny Loggins fan.
Who's not?
But really.
So what did you mean by that?
But nope. Really, I just mean it's kind of like choose your battles. You know, if I feel really, really strongly about something, then I might still try to make my point or just really want to be heard about what I want to say. But sometimes the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Like sometimes it's just maybe beneficial to everyone if you can just release it and let go of any thought that has to be the way that you want it to be.
Yeah, and to add on that, to not take it personally if it doesn't go your way. I think part of the times, from my experience dealing with you guys when you were younger, like if I didn't agree with you, somehow that tapped into your value that, you know, I really need everybody on my side because then somehow that proves I'm more valuable. And I tried as a parent to like make you or to help you understand that it doesn't have anything to do with your value, that your opinion is your opinion, my opinion is my opinion, and if our opinions don't match, it's okay not to take it personally.
Yeah, and I would also add to that is I think it's important, and I've learned this from personal experience, is that a person is not their opinion. I know often, you know, in the past, I had have this habit of if someone disagreed on something that I thought was a really core value, and we would disagree, then oftentimes in the past, again, and this might, and I can't even think of a specific example. It might have occurred with you, Melissa, or mom, or, you know, Melissa's shaking her head. Like,
never,
no, we never disagreed. But, you know, I would hold on to and be like, I can't believe the person thought this that way. I can't believe this is their opinion like that. Just and I, a lot of times I would put, you know, externally put what I thought and how I felt about that person, a lot of that weight on the actual opinion. And I realized that's not benefiting the relationship at all, you know. And it's kind of the bigger picture of everyone has their own frame of reference. You know, when someone has an opinion different of mine, they have a different life experience than mine. Mm-hmm. They have a different life. I remember sitting there, and we went to I guess I do have an example. But we did go to a wealthy middle school. And so a lot of the girls in the class had very fancy clothes and just had a lot more things than we had at the time. And I remember going to a girlfriend's house, and she was complaining about how she didn't get her allowance that week. And I went home and I was just judging it so much. And I was like, you know, you get so much. But working with it, I really got to the point where that could be extreme for her because she relies on it so much. I don't know the experience up until that point. Maybe her parents give her money based on her worth. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty extreme.
Perceived worth.
Or her perceived
yeah,
worth. Or, you know, if you know, she got, I don't know, if she made a team or something like that, you know, really putting it to value. I don't know. And so by judging her, I assumed that she had the same life experience as me.
And also that life experience will change at any moment. You know, if somebody has an opinion about something strongly one day, it might not be the same opinion even the next day. So it's like, why hold it as stone, or why hold it as, like, in so much, if it's against what you're saying, then that's wrong.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And how much energy does it take trying to persuade someone to change their mind when they're not going to? And frustration. Really, let's be honest. Is it worth it? Like, right. Know when to fold them. Yeah. Maybe I changed my mind.
Okay.
Maybe we should call
okay.
it that again.
You guys can decide, the listeners. It can be agree to disagree, or know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Yeah, but, poker players.
But Danielle did bring up a good point, I think, about this, too, is that sometimes when you hold your opinion so strong and you move into judgment on the other person about their opinion. So that's another thing that is a block to communication, when you move into judgment of another person.
Absolutely. So,
absolutely. And it's okay not to be right.
Yes.
And I'm putting right in print or quotation
air quotes.
Marks. Air quotes. Yes.
That you can't see, but they're there, I promise.
So, which leads us into the next item, which is number 6 is move into acceptance. So, Melissa, do you want to start with that one?
Well, I have another cliche that comes forward in this one. And really, for me, there's no use crying over spilled milk. And I just really feel that way. It's easier said than done. But really, whatever has happened has happened. So fretting about it or worrying about it or wishing that it was different is just not productive, and it's not going to change anything about what actually happened. So fighting, I think Katie Byron said that when you fight with reality, you'll lose, but only 100% of the time, or
yeah,
something along those
point.
Lines. And it just really is that. It just seems like a lot of wasted energy to me to be in againstness of what is and what has happened.
Yeah. And that's a lot like what my thoughts were on it, is that acceptance to me is a lot like not having expectations. And you're accepting the person as they are right here, right now. You're not trying to change them to fit into your expectations of what they should or shouldn't be. You're just right here, right now, in the moment, accepting them where they're at.
And also accepting where you're at,
yes,
in the conversation, in the moment, you know, just being accepting of, this is what I'm feeling right now, this is what happened, this is how I'm showing up, and just being in acceptance of it.
Yeah, I almost want to add on to it, is moving to acceptance without adding judgment. And I guess that's kind of saying it. If you accept something, you don't judge it. And I've struggled with this one. This, I shouldn't say that I've struggled with this one, but this has been the biggest opportunity for my learning, is just really accepting that things have happened, because in the past, I have so often wanted to change it. Like, if I really wanted to save Melissa didn't want to go to the movie, and I'm judging myself. But I can't.
See, I'm moving into acceptance that you're not going to let go of that analogy today. So.
Until you say you're going to go to the movie with me, apparently. But it just really... Moving into it and not making the person wrong or yourself wrong. I think that's very challenging. And also, when working with this, it's very, very important not to judge yourself if you're trying to do it and you don't succeed. Because this one's tough. For example, if, you know, you have an argument with your mom or your sibling or whatever, and you're trying to accept the fact that the argument just happened, you're trying to take a break, you know, you're trying to figure out how to be honest in yourself about what the communication really means to you. You know, it doesn't help the circumstance if you're judging yourself. If you're saying, hey, I still feel angry. Oh, that's wrong. I'm not supposed to. I'm just supposed to be in complete acceptance. It's really a process.
Yes. And part of that process to help you eliminate that judgment against yourself is to forgive yourself. Oftentimes people think of forgiveness as forgiving the person outside there, but sometimes if you start with saying, you know, I'm sorry that I felt this way. I forgive myself for judging myself, for feeling that the other person is wrong. I forgive myself for judging myself, for the misunderstanding that they're awful, that I'm a bad mother, whatever it is, you know, let go of it for yourself. It's like that old saying that if you pick up a hot coal and you throw it at someone, that you're the only person that's going to get burned. Mm-hmm. So when you move into like that self-forgiveness, it's like allowing yourself to let go of that hot coal.
Absolutely. I feel like what's also correlated is our number five, and that's releasing comparisons.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the biggest thing too. This is a huge thing, especially I feel in mother-daughter relationships. Is there's this comparison, at least I mean, I have a lot of stories, but I've experienced it. Like, my mom did such a wonderful job. She had two daughters. She went to law school. She had all this success. And when I first had my son, I was like, oh gosh, I don't have a master's yet. I don't have I do now. High five to me.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But you know, like, my mom raised two kids and I'm only raising one. And I learned really quick that I just needed to drop that train of thought because it wasn't serving the relationship at all. And it, one of the most profound quotes I've ever heard, and it rings so true, is comparison is the thief of joy. If you're always making something better and always making something worse, you're not in the moment. There's always going to be that duality. There's always going to be a better than, a less than. And oftentimes people make sure that they're the less than.
Yeah. And it's funny that you brought up relationship between mothers and daughters. And I brought forward siblings, you know, especially with siblings, because growing up with you, it was like, you might ask mom, can I go to the movies with my friends on Friday night? And
movies?
You're 15. Yeah. And you're 15. And she's like, no, you can't because of this, this, and this. And then I come along 2 years later and it's Friday night and I'm 13 and I'm like, hey mom, can I go to the movies with my friends? And she's like, yeah, sure. Just, you know, be back whenever.
I would like to shed a little light to this. I asked when I was 15 if I could go to the movies. For like 2 years, it was no, no, no. Finally, when I was 16, I was able to go to the movies with my friends. 2 weeks later, my sister, who is 2 years younger than me, gets to go to the movie with her friends alone. Maybe I'm still comparing.
Yeah, yeah. She was a DARE role model on student council. I was, and she was so hard on herself. So it was a different perspective. She needed to lighten up a little bit, you know?
That's true.
So that's, I mean, true. And that's I always treated you both from my perspective as individuals and where you were at in your life process.
Oh, that's not on this list. Oh, yeah. That's a great one because it is. I have always felt that you've treated us as an individual, not grouped us together. And that's neither good. I mean, it's great, but I don't mean that in a negative way. Like grouping us together, like I guess what I'm just saying is I was able to have my own relationship with you, mm-hmm. apart from Melissa. And also, Melissa, we had our own relationship apart from mom.
That is true. We did make up our own secret language that she still doesn't know exists.
She's winking. I think sometimes Melissa forgets we're on radio and no one can see it.
No, I just have faith that you'll dictate my emotions to the audience.
Because we have our own relationship, apart from Mom. All right, so we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about comparison. And then we'll go into our favorite segment. I think we all have all agreed that our favorite segment is one question, three responses. We'll be right back.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
At Heart-Centered Listening, we are committed to providing high-quality coaching, empowering you to reach a healthier and more fulfilling mother-daughter relationship. We have a consistent flow of coaching clients who sincerely want to heal and move toward a healthy, loving, and fulfilling mother and daughter relationship. We welcome you to share in the joys, sorrows, and experiences of one family's growth and learning. We support others in growing into love and support of oneself so that you can show up in the loving way that you would like in your relationships with others. Get answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. We promise to show up each day in our authenticity and always be honest in our responses. You can call Heart-Centered Listening at 310-301-1850 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Time or visit our website at heartcenteredlistening.com. Mother-daughter relationship coaching with Elizabeth Lutz. Isn't it time to open the door to your new relationship? Heartcenteredlistening.com. Support. Healing. Transformation.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Communicating from the Heart. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you might have. Please send us an email to info@heartcenteredlistening.com. That's info@heartcenteredlistening.com. Now back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship.
Welcome back to Communicating from the Heart. Once again, I'm your host, Elizabeth, and I'm joined by my two daughters and co-hosts, Danielle and Melissa. And first of all, I want to kind of apologize. We used up all about the time that we had for our top 10 list, and we only got through five, so we'll continue the rest next week. And I apologize for that. However, I feel like we need to get more in depth with each one of the topics, and then I'll post them once they're all done next week. You know, we'll post them somewhere and we'll let you know where they're at so you can take a look at them. So, but before we begin our new segment, that one question, three responses. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add to that last one? We got cut kind of short for the release comparisons.
I don't know if I had that much to say about that last one, but I really wanted to emphasize the one before it, the acceptance. I really feel if I were to go over the five that we've shared already, I feel like being in acceptance of just where you're at and the situation is extremely powerful and empowering.
You know, as you were talking, I really realized how intertwined each one of these are. Because at first I wanted to say, hey, the thing that I felt was the most powerful is releasing comparisons. But then I'm like, then that goes into accepting who you are and who the other person is. And then that goes into communicating with the other person. So I really realize how entangled they are and how much it really comes down to just, you know, being honest with yourself and being authentic in your expression.
Yeah, I agree.
Like communicating from the heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Good job. And I just
my
wanted,
mom didn't say good job to me.
Good job. It was a blanket statement. And I just wanted to add one more thing about comparing yourself to other people, because what it does is it creates distance within yourself. So when you're comparing yourself, you're creating distance in the relationship, the outer experience of the relationship, but you're also creating distance within yourself. You're either, you know, feeling better than or worse than, and that's not authentic. So it does create distance inwardly and outwardly.
And it's quantifying everything. It's not just letting you be. It's not just letting you be this amazing, wonderful person that you are, who's learning things and going through life, taking what comes at you and making it, using it for your own growth. It's really just quantifying it and having your value on an outside. You don't have control over it when you compare.
Yep. Yep.
Oh. So what is our question for
the
week?
Okay, all right. So we're going to do the one question, three responses. This is, like we said, one of our favorite things to talk about. And so we'd love questions from our online listeners or callers. So send us a question at info
at heartcenteredlistening.com.
I was trying to, the at sign, where was that at? info.heartcenteredlistening.
It came right after info. Right before heart centered listening.
But it's kind of fun to see how each one of us will respond. And you, as the listener, may agree with us, or you may disagree with all of us, or you're none of us, or, you know, so, all right, here's the question. You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is from Tina, who's 42 years old and lives in Minnesota. And here is her question. My daughter is a slob. How do I get her to respect me and our family space?
I have experience with this, sharing a basement with my sister. And the way that I got through it was I got a lock on my door and I kept my space very separate from hers. But no, I'm just joking. I really hear your question. And one of the things that comes forward for me is I want to ask you, do you feel that she is aware of your energy on this? Because I feel like bringing forward a question like this, it's almost, I almost want to say, I really appreciate you're asking us, but have you communicated with your daughter yet? Have you ever told her, you know, this really isn't in alignment with how I want my house to look? And even bringing forward that question, it's like, who knows where she might be coming from? Maybe she's having a really hard time at school or something's going on that you might not even know about. So just bringing forward the question and just sharing where you're coming from an honest place, who knows what might come forward and yeah. Who knows what the outcome could be from that.
Right. I agree with that. And I have to say that the question for me is, I don't feel like I have enough information to answer it, because what do you mean by slob? I mean, is slob food down in her basement or in her room and there's critters that are like, you know, or is slob just leaving a dish in the sink, you know, and what are the things that you can live with? I mean, it's almost a continuum of what your expectations are and what your thoughts are, and as well as what her expectations and her thoughts are. So I think the first thing you'd want to do is just kind of see if you can get on the same page of what you expect and what you want from your daughter, and ask your daughter, you know, what is it? Is there something going on that you can't do it? Or do you have soccer practice? Are you too busy? You have exams? Or, you know, because there might be some times too when you want to cut the person some slack too. So,
you know, I would, being the quote unquote slob.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to infer anything.
No.
Yes, but to be fair, I did not slob up your room.
That was going to be my next point.
But okay. Continue. Yes. So basically, I would say two things. One, to the parents, like, it really did help, as frustrating as I found it when my mom made boundaries. Like, she mentioned the no dirty dishes. She just said, no dirty dishes. And then another boundary was, you know what, once a week, just pick up the clothes from the floor. So it was really, she made her boundaries, she set in stone, I had to get them done. If I didn't do them, there were consequences. They weren't very severe, but I just didn't want to deal with them, so I did it. And to be honest, as the daughter, if there's any daughters out there, it feels so much better with a clean room. Really, honestly, it stunk, and I hated cleaning it up, but I felt so much better when the room was clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If I'm being honest.
Yes. And then the other thing is, Danielle did tend to keep it in her room. I mean, because that was the other boundary. You know what I mean? It didn't come through to our family space like your question suggests.
Yeah. And I think it's important to respect that boundary too. If it is her space, allow it to be her space. She's the one that has to live in it if it is just her space. And then the other thing that comes forward for me is, you mentioned kind of, you know, having a consequence if it's not done. And I almost feel kind of like one of the languages that I spoke very clearly in high school was money. So I almost want to offer, maybe incentivize it somehow. If I don't know if that's where you want to go, but sometimes something like that just might help.
Yeah, you could go either way. You could say, if you do it, here's money. If you don't, then you owe me money.
Yeah. Oh, Melissa, that room would have been spotless. I
know. Yeah, it would have.
So just to recap real quick, I just want to get the top five in that we've done so far. So we did number 10, which was communicating from the heart.
And number 9, which was no expectations.
Number 8, take a break.
And number 7 was agree to disagree.
And number 6 was move into acceptance.
Number 5, release comparisons.
And again, we just want to kind of apologize for not getting through all 10. But next week, in our next week's show, we'll share the other 5. And I think we did come up with an honorable mention, didn't we?
Yeah. So we got 5 plus 1. Bonus. Yes. A bonus one.
Oh, and I forgot to say number 7 is also know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. See, if you agree to disagree, oftentimes another person comes around and will end up agreeing with you. All right. So we've been having so much fun. We so appreciate you joining us again this week. It was a blast. Again, next week, we'll go through the rest of the top 5. Melissa, Mom, have a great evening. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. It was really fun. I had a great time.
And all of you out there, we so appreciate you. If you have any questions, you can reach us at info@heartcenterlistening.com.
Yeah, it's been great. And we look forward to talking to you or
yeah, we'll see you next week, basically. Yeah.
And by see, we mean you'll hear us.
No, I'll see them.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us this week on Communicating from the Heart. Please tune in for another edition with mother-daughter hosts Elizabeth Lutz, Danielle Schoniker, and Melissa Schoniker next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We can't wait to share more with you next week.